We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower up in here. So, all right, we're going to number two on the Triple Dipper, Right Sports. You know, listen, I love sports, but I can't talk them in the detail that my friend Hannah Stevens can. So many of y'all know Hannah as the UA sign girl. She became well-known as a fixture at University of Alabama football games, holding up her signs. And it went from there. A degree, I believe, in sports broadcasting. Got her own gig with ESPN for a while. She was a Division I athlete herself. And now we have the joy of knowing that she can come on Right Side Radio and talk a little Right Sports. My friend Hannah Stevens, how are you doing?
I'm doing well today, Phil. How are you doing?
I'm good. All right. March Madness has now subsided. So
<Yeah.
laughs> I'm an Auburn fan, so I still hate Yale, but Alabama did what it did. And then talk to us about what happened with the final last night.
Yeah. I mean, I'll say this. I think when you look at all the teams you played UConn so far, especially in the tournament, I think Alabama played them the hardest. I think, you know, that's something to consider. You know, when you look at, in retrospect, how Alabama did, because, you know, it's kind of hard to face a giant, right? Especially when he's over 7 foot tall.
Yeah.
And I think you have to give Alabama credit for where it's due because we played them well on defense. And if we would have played the way we did in the first half and the second half, I think we would have won. But, you know, I think we got tired. I think we were too quick up and on the court. I think we could have controlled the tempo in the game a little bit better. We could have won as well. But regardless, I'm really happy. And, you know, I know we're going to get later on into Kentucky basketball, but, you know, considering Nate Oates is staying and considering there are many guys who were on the court this year could actually choose to return for another year, I would love to see all of them and make a run for it next year and maybe win it all. But, yes, last night, UConn-Purdue, it's a classic showdown. I'll say this, though. You got to feel bad for Purdue because they have the record now for that many NCAA tournament wins without an NCAA championship. So you're a Purdue fan, you're kind of sick of getting to this point and not winning. But if you're UConn, I mean, UConn's kind of like the Alabama of college basketball, right? I mean, men and women's, they're kind of known for being good. I mean, that kind of makes sense considering where they play in Connecticut. But, you know, I'm very happy for them. I was really rooting for Purdue, to be honest with you. But it is nice to know, and I'll say this. The one thing Alabama football and Alabama basketball have in common this year is they both lost to the national champion in the Final Four, so to speak. College football is not the playoff, but
there's that. I'll give you that. But yeah, Boilermakers. Yeah. It's always like always a bridesmaid, never a bride, right? So they
exactly.
But
more like runaway brides.
Does UConn even have a football team, or are they just solely a basketball school now? That's the way I look at it.
That's a good question. I don't really know. I think. Point they did, but you know the thing is there's it's. I would say when you look at basketball and football, the SEC is really one of the only conferences that is dominant at both. Because you I mean you have the Pac-12, you have the and they do have a. They're just that good that we know all about them. But you know the SEC has just become such a dominant conference in every single sport, whether it's Auburn or Alabama or Florida or Arkansas even. I mean, Arkansas is even great at baseball. So, I mean, you just have so many sports that are dominant in every single program in the SEC that, you know, when you have conferences like, so to speak, the Pac-12 or, you know, the Big East, I mean, you really just have a one sport dominant program. And that's kind of what UConn is a basketball dominant program. That's where their money, their NIL money, their, you know, all their energy goes towards that.
Yeah. Well, and I guess, you know, once you find your niche, you'll run with it. And plus, it's also more cost effective.
Sure.
Basketball's not near as impactful to the budget as running a football program or a multi-sport program. Anyway, all right, let me ask you this, though. I'm gonna jump around. I got several things you and I talked about we might cover on. All right, so briefly, staying with Alabama basketball, Nate Oates. There was big talk about where, you know, there's been talk about him and Bruce Pearl in terms of Kentucky. So Kentucky needs somebody, and then they look around in the SEC and they go, huh, Bruce Pearl, and then most notably Nate Oates, who just got back from the NCAA. But we got news on that now, right?
Yeah. Nate Oates is not leaving.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Well, please tell me if Bruce Pearl's not, because I haven't heard anything out of Bruce Pearl yet.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I don't really think that he would fit that niche of a program. Because you look at what Calipari did. When you look at how he changed the program, but I'll say this. I don't know a Kentucky fan. I mean, I have a lot of friends who are Kentucky fans. I don't know a single one who's sad he's leaving. Because he kind of like Purdue. He always got them close, but it continued to be, especially over the last couple of seasons, they just choked, and the choking got earlier and earlier. And so when you're a Kentucky fan and you realize, okay, we really need a new start. I mean, 15 years is a long time. 15 years, especially in college basketball, is a long time to be at a program. And I think for Kentucky fans, they kind of got weary of, you know, just the not finishing it all the time. I mean, Kentucky really had no reason not to be a Final Four team every single year. And, you know, especially with the transfer portal and the talent they have going and coming, I mean, there was really no excuse. So I think for Kentucky, they're excited. And I know Arkansas is excited to get a John Calipari because he is going to bring recruits with him. He is going to bring a different sense of energy and maybe a little bit of stability they haven't had in a long time. But I'm very excited to see who replaces them. But I'll go back to Bruce Pearl. I don't think he's the right fit because I think he reminds me a little bit of Nick Saban. I think that Nick Saban's a guy who loves having control. He loves being able to run the program and not having boosters control his every move.
Yeah.
And I think Bruce Pearl is similar at Auburn, and I think Kentucky's more of a booster-based program where boosters stay and do, and you kind of are the puppet, so to speak. And so I don't think Bruce Pearl would be their guy for that reason.
You know, it's funny you say that, and maybe this is what you meant, but I was going to also say, beyond just coaching and beyond just being a fit and loved by the fan, Bruce Pearl's loved by his fans. But Bruce Pearl has also, down at Auburn, he has been sort of basically off the chain. He's allowed to say what he wants to say. He's got some very strong political views. He's got some very strong views on what's going on with Israel. He's very open about his faith. And Auburn has not tried to stymie him in any way that I'm aware of. And I can't guarantee that would be the same way anywhere else.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that's exactly what I mean. I think that Bruce Pearl has just kind of shown that he is not a man who can or should be controlled. And I think he's been able to have free reign. And I think that is a big thing for him in Auburn. And I'll be honest with you, I think that's one reason why their football program at Auburn has struggled because they don't have that. They haven't given a coach that same freedom. I mean, you look at Brian Harsin, a guy who wasn't really given much time. And, you know, and if you really want me to go down a controversial topic, I can talk to you about that one day and give you one big reason why Brian Harsin lost his job that no one's willing to talk about. But you know, for me, I mean, someone like, you know, if you're looking at coaches, I mean, you have to, and I'll say one good one, Stanford's head coach. I think you look at someone like that who is still up and coming, who has done a great job having his team, maybe even UAB, having his team run to the NCAA tournament. Obviously, you look at UConn's head coach, Hurley. I mean, he would be a shoe-in for that program. But is he willing to leave? I don't think so. I think most people think going from UConn to Kentucky's a step down because UConn's kind of a shoe-in for talent. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who they end up coming to terms with because, I mean, I don't know if you realize this. And a lot of people don't either, but he just announced today that it's official. Calipari himself, that he is leaving Kentucky. So when news spreads fast, and, you know, we knew this for about 24 to 28 hours ahead of when it was confirmed. But, I mean, they haven't even officially announced it yet. And when that does, I mean, the clock's on. So, I mean, if you're Kentucky, you've already been doing your research and you've already got some guys in mind, kind of like Alabama with Greg Byrne when Nick Saban left. But I think we're going to give it 2 or 3 days and we're going to find out who the new head coach is going to be.
And let's be honest. There are agents right now that are helping negotiate their current coaches' contracts everywhere and leveraging Kentucky. You know, I heard Kentucky's calling. Do you want him to leave? How about a bigger buyout?
Sure.
Sure. You got to know that's happening.
Absolutely. Nate Oates would not have been the guy for them. And I think the reason is this. He is he's a perfect fit to Alabama. He's a guy who has rebuilt culture. And when you are the guy, and he's kind of the Nick Saban of college basketball at Alabama, when you look at a guy who is able to not only rebuild culture, but rebuild a program, it's forever changed. That's what Nate Oates has done for Alabama basketball. You look at what he's done in his short time being there. I mean, there's no reason at this point for Nate Oates to go to Kentucky and try to do that, because let's be honest, that's not going to happen. Kentucky is a history-based program. Kentucky's going to have to find someone that walks the walk and talks the talk that Kentucky wants them to do, and Nate Oates is not going to be that guy for them. So in my mind, I always knew from the second they said Nate Oates, I'm like, that's not going to happen. That's basically saying that Urban Meyer's going to come to Alabama. There's no way we're going to want him, and there's no way he's going to want to come here.
Okay. Well, I think we've run men's basketball here pretty good. Listen, we're gonna wind up taking a break here momentarily, and sure. I don't know if we can fit it all in, but there's been some huge things in women's basketball. There's been some huge things in terms of women's sports. And then somewhere along the line, I want to hear your thoughts on Auburn's A-Day game, because do we have a team coming? I want to hear your thoughts on Auburn. Yes, Auburn's A-Day game. I want to hear your thoughts on it. All right. We're with Hannah Stevens, who is known to many as the UA sign girl. I mean, listen, this woman knows sports like the back of her hand, and she is good at presenting the facts. As we get through this segment, though, I was going to tell you, there are some things that are happening, y'all, right now in the world of sports. Do they relate to sports? Yes, but they also relate to the things that you and I as Right Side Ruffians care about. Like, is anybody ever going to wind up stepping up to the plate and saying enough is enough with the idea of transgenders in sports? And there was I guess you're still on the line right now, Hannah. I didn't mean to start talking over. I thought we were going to break, but I guess I had a little more time than I thought we did. I got a minute left. Okay. Did you see, by the way, Riley Gaines testifying before the Alaska State Legislature this past weekend? Did you see that by any chance?
Yes.
She did.
Yes. I'm so proud of her.
In usual epic fashion, she did a great job. It's amazing to watch her. She has become, to me, the epitome of being able to provide cogent and well-reasoned analysis that just disarms liberals.
I agree 1,000,000%. I mean, I think that she has, and I mean, you know, we both got to meet her a couple of weeks ago, and, you know, I've texted her since and just told her how proud I am of her, and the Lord has given her a platform, and I know it's probably not something that it's always light to carry. The burden's heavy, but the burden has a purpose, and I think that the Lord has just chosen her to be the voice of reason and the voice for women and the purity of women's sports for years down the road. So I'm very proud of her.
Hannah Stevens, hang on. We're going to take a break. We'll come right back in about 5 minutes and do more Right Sports with our friend Hannah Stevens, the UA sign girl. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all of the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number 3, and we're going back to dipper number 2 with our friend Hannah Stevens, some Right Sports. Hannah Stevens. Hey, by the way, Hannah Stevens, tomorrow's a big day. Happy birthday to you, UA sign girl. Happy birthday.
Thank you so much. Well, I turned 30 tomorrow. I'm very excited.
Good for you, man. That's awesome. Well, I hope you have a great day doing that. And somebody needs to fuss over you, bring you lots of gifts and big cake. That needs to happen.
Oh, I affirm that. Yes.
Hey, listen, we talked about men's basketball and coaching and stuff, you know, for a pretty good bit there at the first segment. In the next few minutes, though, first of all, let me switch gears. Women's basketball.
Sure.
So the women's NCAA basketball tournament has now occurred. Iowa, Caitlin Clark. Talk to us. What happened?
Yeah. I'm heartbroken for her, I'll be honest. I mean, she and Bryce Young, both probably the most legendary players to play at their university, and both leave without a championship. And, you know, I'll say this. When you look at what she's accomplished, I mean, her awards are numerous, but her impact's many. And I think that's more of what someone like Caitlin would want. I mean, if you ask her if she would rather have a national championship or she would rather leave her name etched in stone for many records, I think she would choose the latter, and that's what she did. She changed the game of college basketball, especially for women. And I'll say this, when you look at the fact that, I don't know if you know this, But the Iowa UConn basketball game was the most watched college basketball, college or pro women or men's basketball game ever.
Really?
And that's because of Caitlin Clark, yes. It set the record, I believe it was over 14.5 million viewers watched that game, more than any NBA college basketball, men or women, ever.
Wow.
And that's because of Caitlin Clark.
Wow.
So, I mean, she has completely changed the game. I mean, the joke was at Iowa that it was more expensive to go to a women's college basketball game than it was to go to Iowa football or men's basketball.
Well, you know what, though? I love it when a personality like that comes on and brings something to a program that just drives everything forward. I mean, people rally around that. Fans rally around. Other players rally around
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So she's going. She's NWA. She's WNBA bound now, right?
WNBA.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
Well,
and that's going to be happening soon. I mean, she's going to be graduating college and getting drafted and having her first game all within the next couple of months. So she has a busy future ahead of her.
Well, good on her. And, it's too bad she didn't have that ring to take with her. But nonetheless, she's earned some stuff. But, all right, so South Carolina, they pulled it out. Mm-hmm. They came in, and this was their year. They took Iowa, what was it, 87-75, I think. But so South Carolina's women's basketball coach, though, Dawn Staley, even though she coached the winning team, she got a bit controversial there towards the end. What the heck? Did we lose her? I just lost it. Oh, shoot. All right, we'll get her back on the line because that information, if you didn't see this, go ahead and give her a call back there, Big Rig, to see if we can get her back on the line right away. Apparently, we just dropped the call. But Dawn Staley is the coach of South Carolina, the women's basketball team. And she, inexplicably, as the coach of the winning women's team, came out and said that she didn't really have a problem with transgenders competing in women's sports. And we got Hannah back on the line. Hannah, yeah. I just led off the topic there, Dawn Staley. What the heck was she thinking?
Yeah, I'll be honest. She's lost all my respect, and I was rooting against Sam Simley because of that. I mean, it's inexcusable. And, I mean, when you look at the impact she's had, not only on South Carolina, but women's basketball, it's heartbreaking. I mean, and especially, you know, it's like this. And I've said this many times, whether it's on your show or, you know, with friends, that, you know, if I wanted to play men's basketball, and really there's no rule. If Caitlin Clark wanted to go to the NBA, they would let her. There's no rule against it. But no guys can be like, oof, she's going to destroy me. I'm really worried about it, right? But if Steph Curry said, you know what, I'm now going to be called Stephanie Curry, and I'm going to go to the WNBA, every single woman would be like, no, you're not. Are you serious? No, you're way better than all of us. Look at you. So the fact that she's willing to say that is a slap in the face to every single girl on her team that has ever played for her, that is currently playing for her, knowing good and well that any of those men on the men's South Carolina basketball program came and played for her, that they would be replacing one of the girls in her court. And so if I was one of her players, I'd be like, you know what? I'm contemplating, do I want to play for someone like this? And I mean, I know, you know, the LGBTQ community is celebrating what she said, but anyone with half one eye and half sense could see and understand how wrong and how corrupt that was what she said. And I think she's ruined all the respect I have that I had for her because that one comment.
Yeah, I mean, she just really sucked the life out of her own personal testimony, her own career. But you know what? I guess maybe if you're woke or if you're just weak, you're okay with it. But but she and she's got street cred. I mean, she coached the winning basketball team for the women's NCAA finals. But still, you look at it and think those were your girls, and you just basically said, "Hey, I wouldn't mind if somebody took advantage of them." That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so let me ask you this, though, because here's Dawn Staley at the NCAA saying that, and yet just in the last 24 hours, we got or maybe 48 hours, we got a major ruling from the NAIA, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics. I mean, that's not the NCAA level, but they're like a little less influential, but they represent mostly the small colleges. But talk about what just happened and why they are leading the charge now.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I'm correct, they have like, was it 800 schools? No, was it 83 schools? I can't remember the number, but they're impactful. And I'll say this, when you look at that, and you look at something on that scale, it's going to have a ripple effect. And I'll be honest with you, I've said this from day one, I think it's going to have to be a conference-by-conference decision. I think that, you know, the NCAA is going to probably shake its fist and do what it did to Raleigh Gaines and not stand up. But, I mean, let's call it the SEC, right? I mean, the SEC is in the Bible Belt. The SEC is, a conference that, Lord willing, still has somewhat of, you know, I mean, that's the conference Raleigh Gaines played for, swam for. So, I mean, for me, I think the NAIA, what they did, set the precedent. I think it's putting pressure on the NCAA, and I think it's going to put pressure on conferences to say, hey, listen, the NCAA may not want to stand up for what's right, but we are, because we're the SEC, and it just means more, right? That's their slogan.
Yeah.
So how can we mean it more? How can they do more, and how can they be more? And I think it's taking the NAIA to do something uncomfortable. And I'll say this. I don't know if you saw, but the people who were on the committee that made the decision, it was anonymous. All 20 of them voted in favor of banning transgender athletes. And I think that says a lot. And I'll be honest with you, if I'm an athlete, and I'm not saying that, you know, that being an NAIA athlete is going to get you to the NBA or the NFL, but I'm not saying it can't. But if I am a female, which I am, if let's say I'm a 16-year-old girl, my mind's kind of like, do I want to go to the NCAA and play that I may get replaced by a man one day and get beat out like Raleigh Gaines did unfairly and unjustly? Or do I want to go to the NIA and participate and play at a smaller division, but also be protected? I mean, that's going to be a topic of conversation, and I'm very interested to see, especially with some of the programs that are kind of in the NIA that have made waves and, you know, the way they played against the NCAA team. I mean, what's going to happen there? Are they going to get more athletes? Are they going to get more money? I mean, what programs and what industries and businesses are going to support the NIA and the lead of the NCAA simply because they ruled in favor of banning transgender athletes? I'm excited for it.
Well, and by the way, I just found the stats while you were talking there that NAIA has 83,000 athletes at 250 schools.
It says 83,000 athletes. That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah, it's 83,000 athletes at 250 schools, which is about, looks like about one fifth the size of the NCAA. But still, I mean, so basically they went ahead and said, hey, NCAA, you can pound sand. We're going to lead the charge here and take care of our female athletes, is what they said.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I mean, I think for me, I've always been disappointed since Raleigh Gaines, that no one stood up for her. And I mean, I'm so proud of her for standing up for what she believes in and standing up for what she's doing. But it is a dang shame that she had no one stand up for her, that no one, whether it was at Kentucky, whether it was in the SEC, whether it was in the NCAA, that no one said, listen, this is wrong. Like, what are we doing? Like, in what fantasy reality are we, like, fantasy facade are we living in that we think it's okay for this to happen? I mean, if this would have been 20 years ago in a movie, there would have been an outroar in the theater. There would have been an outroar in the audience of like, whoa, no, this is not right. I mean, it's like contradictory of like even having a league of their own. Like, there's a reason it was fought for.
Yeah, we used to joke about this. Klinger on MASH was the cross-dresser that everybody knew was trying to get out because that proved he was crazy, right? Nowadays, you can pretend you can pretend you're a cat, you know, and be accommodated in some way. It's nuts. All right,
probably
listen.
Sponsored by Meow Mix.
All right, listen, and on that note, we are out of time, but you owe me a conversation about Auburn A-Day football game, just so you know.
Yes, I do. Okay. I do. I talk too much. I'm sorry.
No, this was good stuff. I was right there with you. I mean, I think that probably one of the most stellar conservative moments in sports in recent days has been the NAIA decision. That's absolutely the best thing for us to end the segment on. My friend, Hannah Stevens, we appreciate you. Thanks for calling in for some Right Sports.
Thank you.
All right, you take care. Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're amazing, and I appreciate all you're doing.
Thanks, my friend. All right, that's it. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back and switch gears. I'll take some text messages and move towards dipper number three, the false bottom. I got some stories of curry your hair. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.